This is Dr. Douglene Jackson, your co-host for Therapy Entrepreneurs and Leaders of Color, a podcast dedicated to supporting therapy entrepreneurs and leaders of color in their roles around the world. Today's guest is Kay Richardson, entrepreneur, author, business educator, speaker, academic fieldwork coordinator. She does so much. So thank you, Kay, for being here today. And I'm going to start out by reading her bio. So Kay Richardson is a strategic marketing whiz, powerhouse speaker, entrepreneur, and author. Ms. Richardson has captivated clientele from the Department of State, Cargill, Adobe, Four Eyes, Broward County, and small businesses through her savvy shoestring budget marketing tactics as an entrepreneur. She's provided a variety of business consulting services, from market strategies to new business launch plans and grant pitches. Her clientele has included nonprofits, consultants, tech and apparel startups, law firms, women in healthcare, and many more. Ms. Richardson teaches entrepreneurship lectures at Kaiser University and has also taught entrepreneurship and marketing for Nova Southeastern University's Doctor of Occupational Therapy degree program. She also works hard at bringing entrepreneurship into academia for occupational therapy students to promote and foster entrepreneurship in the occupational therapy profession. Kay's work shapes the way women, people of color, and the LGBT community gain economic empowerment and benefit financially in this new economy. She conducts keynote workshops and training in marketing, business, and how women can realize their power. Ms. Richardson holds an MBA and is the founder of OTCEUs and author of What's a Woman Gotta Do? So that's just a tremendous amount of information. And I'm sure I don't even do that justice for all that you do, Kay, because I've gone to some of your trainings and it's been amazing. And you don't just speak to occupational therapists. You speak to occupational therapy assistants as well as others in other professions. So let's talk about your entrepreneurship. Sorry, let's talk about your entrepreneurial and leadership endeavor.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, Douglene. So, yes, I am Kay Richardson, and I've been an OTA for over 24 years, and I absolutely just love OT and the opportunities that we have as OT practitioners, and I would even say just healthcare practitioners, and what we can bring into the healthcare arena and for patients and clients that are just far beyond the traditional rehab settings that is needed. But there's the lack of skill set that's provided to us in healthcare education in the university system. So I'm excited to kind of talk more about who I am, what I do, and hopefully drop some nuggets for your audience.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, you've been an OT assistant for decades now, and I met my milestone, my 21 years. I say I'm legal now, but I want to know, can you tell us about your current roles, including what attracted you to them? And what did it take to get there?
So I go back to when I first graduated from OTA school. And when I graduated 20 something years ago, I entered into the market of in healthcare where basically Medicare had decided that they were going to revamp the reimbursement system, which at that time just left a lot of therapists, whether it was physical therapists, speech therapists, OTs, just pretty much without a job. And there were thousands of us pretty much stranded with this degree and no place to work. And so for me, I had to end up going back to get a 9-to-5 at a hospital as a customer service rep. But then I just became so frustrated because I knew that I absolutely love OT. I wanted to get into OT. So I took the leap of faith and decided to quit that job and become an independent contractor, which kind of planted my feet into entrepreneurship, into OT. Because as you know, as an independent contractor, you're basically hustling to find work, right? So you don't have that steady 9-to-5. You don't have that consistent amount of income or hours. It's whatever you piece together to make it happen. So that's pretty much kind of how I got started. And so once I kind of figured out, okay, I need to learn to talk about who I am as an OTA, what I provide, which is my value, right? And what problems that I can solve and what would make me unique. Because remember, I was competing against OTRs, I was competing against OTAs who were also seeking a job. And so once I began to learn how to kind of talk about who I was and the problem that I solved, I somehow one day received this CEU course in the mail about ergonomics. And so I remember it like it was yesterday. It was this little green postcard that talked about becoming certified in ergonomics from the Back School of Atlanta, right? And one of the things that really stood out to me was make more income. And I'm like, okay, I do know that I need another source of income, right? Because I'm independent and there are times where I'm slow, I'm up. So I need to add some additional income into my business, right? And so I decided to take the course, became certified, gung-ho, took both certification levels and was ready to go out and change the world, right? But little did I know, it required me to have marketing skills, right? It required for me to know how to brand myself. It required me to know how to sell myself. I didn't learn any of that at OT school, right? And so I learned about ergonomics. I understood that, you know, we change work environments, you know, we identify risk and, you know, proper body mechanics. But there was nothing in my curriculum that taught me how to go out and get the business, right, and position myself as a consultant. And so I was really stumped and I just grabbed books and listened to audios back then. I mean, I'm really dating myself here, but I really had to dive in deep because if it was something that I really wanted to work, I really had to build those skills to stand out. And why do I say that? Because I was really competing against major corporations like Human Scale, Herman Miller, and other ergonomic sales reps who were just really pounding the pavement because that's all they did was sales. So that's really kind of how I got started, right? And just it pushed me to think outside of the box as an OT practitioner. And really, I really had to learn how to position myself. So that's really kind of how I got started in all this marketing and business as an OT practitioner.
That's very brave to begin with. And it was met out of a necessity to create your own way. And I like that you talk about using your skills because oftentimes we get stuck on a title, right? And I am this person, I'm an OT assistant, I'm an occupational therapist. And we forget that we can leverage these skills in other spaces. And you've even gone on to be an educator. So can you talk a bit about being a business educator?
Yeah, so I found myself in academia about 14 years ago because I was looking for a challenge. I can't even say I was looking for something more. I was really looking for a challenge because, again, I had started the business. I was doing very well. I was having fun meeting new people, you know, making a difference in corporate companies. And then this ad came up for an academic fieldwork coordinator at Kaiser University. I'm like, okay, I'll go for the interview. But the day I got to the interview, I did not properly prepare. I really didn't even want to go to the interview because I'm like, why am I doing this? I love what I do. But I went to the interview and I got the position. But the thing that allowed me to get the position was because I knew marketing, right? Because really the academic fieldwork coordinator is all about marketing and sales, right? We try not to look at it as sales, but we really are selling the university so that healthcare providers can accept our students, right? So having that ability to have a conversation, improvise, you know, during the conversation and thinking about how am I going to meet the needs of this organization for my students, right? Because again, they all want to know what's in it for them, right? How is it that my students are going to make the impact? So as I continue to build myself with Kaiser, building Kaiser out in the community in the South Florida area, I really just became kind of bored, if you would say, right? Just doing that. I'm like, I really love entrepreneurship, and we don't really talk about entrepreneurship in our program. And so I would always go in and be the guest lecturer about ergonomics. And the students would get so excited about other opportunities that were non-traditional, right? Because everybody didn't want to work in a hospital. Some didn't want to work in pediatrics or a skilled nursing facility. So sometimes they would really be kind of frustrated because it was something more that they wanted, but they didn't know what was possible, right? And so the AOTA actually started talking more about emerging practice areas and really trying to get OT to kind of think outside of the box and use our skills in so many other areas, like some of the other professions were doing at the time. And so I began to say, hey, let me talk about ergonomics. Let me talk about marketing and position yourself, even for some of the traditional outpatient rehab or pediatric facilities, so that my students who wanted to go into those businesses kind of had a really small foundation, basic business, but yet it was something very powerful that would kind of give them a heads up to be successful and cut some of the learning curve in the process. And so that's pretty much how I became what I define as the business educator, because I am sought after, as you mentioned in my bio, by Nova University and some of the other OT practice schools for that skill that, again, a lot of, you know, practitioners lack, but I happen to have because I started an entrepreneurial journey very early.
Yes, and it's been a great journey, and I'm grateful you're sharing that with us. And you've even started OTCEU.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
So again, I realized that the OT profession itself, we're kind of behind when it comes to business, right? PT is very aggressive when it comes to teaching their students and the practitioners in the field about business and entrepreneurship, right? And when we think about speech therapists, there are a lot of speech therapists who are clinic owners, right? So if we really look at the number of physical therapists or speech therapists compared to the number of OTs in business, there's a gap, right? And so I realized that there's a gap because there are skills that are lacking when it comes from the educational standpoint and needing to understand business skills. So I wanted to do something different and not do the traditional CEUs that we always find, you know, arm, shoulder, stroke, that kind of neuro kind of thing, sensory. I wanted to think about the entrepreneur OT who is thinking, I don't want to do just that. I want to do yoga. I want to do pelvic floor. I want to do ergonomics. I want to be a consultant in a corporate company, right? There's so many different avenues that I can only, you know, just spill out to you, right? And so I decided to do OTCEUs with a few of my other colleagues just because I wanted to also help the OT that was burnt out, right, in the traditional setting, think about ways to use their skills so that they can continue to do what they love, but also rejuvenate and reposition themselves as an OT practitioner. And pretty much that's kind of how OTCEUs kind of came about.
Awesome. And it's been a blessing to many. And as I said, I've been to some of your programming and it's awesome. Now, you mentioned numbers, and I want to talk about a few numbers here. The occupational therapy profession has less than, say, 5% of persons of color. Has this fact impacted your entrepreneurial or leadership roles? And if so, how?
Well, I would definitely say yes. I kind of mentioned it a little earlier when I was saying to you when I started in ergonomics. I remember going to the workers' comp industry conferences and the HR conferences, and just throwing out numbers, let's say 100 people in a room, I probably was 3 of 100 of, you know, people of color, right? But then I probably was 1 or 2 women of color, right, in the room. So it was very challenging sometimes because, again, you gotta build strategic partnerships. You gotta, you know, get to know who's who. So sometimes, you know, it was a little challenging because I was very young at the time, right? And so people looking at me like, who's this little, you know, little kid? Because I had this very young look, like, what are you about to do? What are you about to teach us about, right? And so I just had to continue pressing forward and beginning to position myself so that I could win, right? And so it required me to give a level of service. It required me to market differently. It required me to position my brand differently in the marketplace so that I could garner those clients like Adobe, the U.S. government, and Cargill, and just being a sought-out speaker in ergonomics for other conferences that was looking for that expert in the field. So it took a lot of work, but it was worth the challenge. But it was work because I was sometimes the only one or very few in the room that looked like me.
Yes. So, yeah. That's oftentimes the case. And I love to see that people shine nonetheless, right? And you touched on that as being one challenge. What other challenges have you faced as an entrepreneur and leader of color? And how have you overcome those?
Some of the other challenges, I mean, just having a community of other people of color as entrepreneurs, right? You know, again, I started 20 something years ago. There weren't many, you know, OT practitioners in the South Florida area who were of color, right? And then a very few of us, we really kind of stuck together, but there weren't many trying to really venture out into the non-traditional setting. So trying to find someone who understood what I was going through or where I was trying to go was a little bit challenging. So it was stepping outside of, you know, my current network of OT practitioners and finding others who were in the industry that I was, you know, building my stake in, and started building those friendships of other women of color, people of color, throughout that journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, networking is key, definitely, and having that support group. Also, I just think about beyond just networking in our profession, and with our colleagues, how about when it comes to navigating that business space, securing those contracts? Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah. Again, for me, it was a lot of just strategic partnerships, right? Who are the people who had my ideal clients, and how could I partner and be strategic with them? Also, I became certified as a woman minority-owned business, right? So that gave me a lot of leverage to be able to get certain contracts, right? And so again, finding out what's going to give me the competitive edge over my competition, right? And using it to my advantage. So again, whatever certifications I could obtain, you know, whether it was a grant application that I applied for and won, and then that gave me this visibility, or writing an article for a particular association gave me visibility, or, you know, pitching to a journalist about ergonomics and then getting featured in a Miami Herald. Again, using different marketing strategies and tactics so that I could leverage and gain that visibility so that I could stand out from my competition.
So visibility and positioning yourself to differentiate from others around you. That is great advice. Thank you. Thank you for that. And getting into that advice, what advice would you give to therapists of color seeking to go into entrepreneurship or even leadership positions?
First, I would say, I'm going to start with leadership for my first answer to your question, because I think leadership is the key area, because even for myself, being in academia as a young Black professional who started 14 years ago, I think it's important for us to find others as mentors, right? And also, don't be afraid to ask questions, right? And be willing to get a no, but continue to seek the answer and advice that you need, right? And so, as you know, this year I spoke for FOTA about stepping in academia as a Black professional. But as a Black OT, right? And so one of the key things that I gave away to the audience was to create a curriculum vitae, right? If you begin to develop that, most people who are applying for that, for a position in academia with a resume, right? So that right there alone will make you stand out, right? And so get together with people who are where you want to go and just open up the conversation and ask questions on how do you navigate, how do you get there, right? So that's what I would say from a leadership standpoint. Build a network, ask questions, and don't be afraid of getting a no if someone is too busy and can't answer you right away. Now, when it comes to entrepreneurship, I mean, there's a ton of advice that I can give to a fellow therapist, right? But I'll try to narrow it down to a few things. So, number one, I'm going to say be willing to start now so you can fail fast. Right. So if you're willing to fail, you're willing to learn. Right. Because when you think about it, the faster you fail, you have the opportunity to ask yourself, how do I need to change? What do I need to change? And how do I need to shift? Right. And what did I learn from this experience? Right. So when you think about failing, if you change it and you begin to ask yourself some very powerful questions so that you can get to where you want to go, I would say start now so you can fail fast, right? And don't be afraid of failure, and always ask, what can I do better, right? So the next thing that I would say is that the challenge when it comes to the healthcare programs, as I mentioned in OT, we do have limited access to business courses, right? So one of the things that I would definitely say is that you definitely need to know how to run a business, how to obtain business, how to market business, and how to sell. How to ask for the sale in a way that putting the client first is going to be very important for you to achieve the success that you desire, right? And so if I have to leave you with one more tip, I would say, when you think about positioning yourself in the marketplace as an entrepreneur, a lot of entrepreneurs struggle because they try to think about pleasing everyone, right? They are too afraid to narrow down. They are too afraid to just be clear about who, what, when, where, and how, right? So I'll leave you with this. There are three main areas. You have your core, you have how you captivate, and how you convert. And when you think about your core, you always think about what's the number one problem that I want to solve? It's almost kind of similar to the one thing. People have heard of the one thing, the book, the one thing, right? So you think about the one problem you want to solve, the one client who needs your product or service, right? And the one message that you are going to ring, just like Nike just keeps repeating, just do it, just do it, just do it, right? What's the one positioning unique, you know, position, value proposition statement that you're going to be known for, and people are going to think, this is Kay, she solved this problem because she does it for X, Y, and Z, right? And so the second component of that is how you captivate, right? We have to know how to captivate our audience. We have to think about the audience first and our needs second. Because again, if you cannot captivate your audience with your message, you're going to struggle, right? So it's not about a me, it's about a them, and how we can be partners, because we're partners for the people we're trying to solve problems for, so that we can help them get to their next step, right? And so when we think about conversion, we think about it this way. It's a numbers game, right? How many people do you need to get in front of? How many asks do you need to make in a day, right? So that you can get to your sales goal, right? When I was an entrepreneur, I put on so many speaking opportunities, right? I pitched myself to so many companies as an ergonomic assessment specialist, even as a business consultant. It's about numbers and conversion, right? And one of the main things that can also keep someone stuck as an entrepreneur, again, is being afraid to ask for money, right? And being afraid of the word no. You got to work through that, and you got to push through it, right? So that would be my advice to the therapist of color who is seeking to get into entrepreneurship or seeking to get into some leadership roles.
Now, I know you said you're going to drop some nuggets, but you dropped a whole lot of gems right there. So, wow, is all I can say to that. And that is beyond what anyone could expect in this short amount of time. But you condensed it, put it out there, and we are so grateful for this information. So thank you, Kay. And I just want to know, what's next for you? What are your professional goals?
Oh, man. So, again, just helping entrepreneurs, whether it's, you know, people of color, whether it's women in healthcare, really understanding how to position themselves and navigate business, right? Because we can do so much more if we had the right foundation from the very beginning. It would save us time. It would save us money. It would save us our mental sanity, right? And we can be able to make a difference in the world so much quicker, right? I mean, everything takes time, but it's still, when you learn, you can save time, right? And so one of the things that I am working on for 2023 is what I call my MBA Accelerator Program. And it's all about marketing and business and helping those navigate entrepreneurship through community, through business education, and truly supporting them so that they can definitely scale, because that is where if you've been in business for a while, your ultimate goal is to scale. And so just helping the new startups who want to make a side hustle, and also helping the business owner who's ready to scale and make a bigger impact, because ultimately their goal is to sell their company, right? And so that's pretty much kind of what I'm up to. I'll be putting that stuff out probably in the next few months about the first cohort. So if someone is interested in, you know, going through the program, they can email me to get on the waiting list. And that's kind of what I'm up to.
That's awesome. And besides getting on that waiting list and emailing you, how can we support you in your current and future roles and endeavors?
Again, if you know that entrepreneur who's struggling and trying to figure it out, just definitely pass them my way. Would love to have a conversation with them to see how I can help them, you know, ignite their vision so that they can make a difference in the world. So, awesome. Yeah.
Love it, love
it. And any great speaking opportunities. So that's, I'm always looking for an opportunity to speak. So speaking opportunities are great for me to continue to put the message out there to help entrepreneurs and definitely people of color.
And you have an awesome message to share. So is there anything else you'd like the audience to know?
Just keep pushing forward. Like I said, start now so you can fail fast. And don't let fear stop you.
Awesome. I want to thank you so much, Kay, for this interview today. And where can everyone find you? Share your websites, your social media handles. What are they?
Okay, so my personal website is kayrichardson.co. Again, that's kayrichardson.co. That is my personal brand website. And then people can also reach me at otceus.com. That's where they can get continuing education credit courses about non-traditional emerging practice areas and business development courses to scale their businesses and start their businesses. And you can also find me on Instagram at IdeaIgnitor. Again, that's IdeaIgnitor. And that's where you can find me.
Awesome. And as we wrap this up, I'm going to give you one last moment to share any summarizing thoughts you want for our audience to walk away with.
I think I gave it to you. I think I pretty much gave it to you. I mean, just figure out how you're going to position yourself to win. Position yourself to win so that you can make a difference and make an impact.
Perfect.
And asking powerful questions so that you can achieve that.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank you all for listening. And don't forget to follow. Until next time.